Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Vic and Em's Comedy Gems. My name's Vicky Hanlon.
And I'm Emily Tresidar. Vic and Em's Comedy Gems.
Please don't.
Okay.
Should I formally introduce us to the podcast?
I feel like I'm going to leave all that stuff in anyway.
So. Okay, great.
Oh yeah, I'll fucking besmirch your seat in front
yeah.
of the listeners.
No, that's fine.
Perfect. Well, in case you haven't already...
You couldn't read the description of the podcast and you couldn't tell from the voice.
Yes, in case you've found this podcast with your eyes closed and you've never heard a voice like this before, Vicky Hanlon.
Hello, Emily Tresidar.
It's me, Emily Tresidar. And this week we are joined by uncomfortably smart and funny Conan appearance record breaking
and holding still
and comedy heartthrob Daniel Sloss.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you.
He doesn't need that G up though.
You truly are though. Literally on my way here, I was talking to my producer and I was like, hey, just going to go do the podcast with Sloss. And she was like,
see, I don't believe any of this. I always just think, in real life, I am a 6, but in comedy, I'm an 8. And that's because only ugly people get into comedy.
Yeah.
Like that's we were all never the attractive ones. So I was
true.
A bunch of the... Apart from, like, maybe you're, Matt O'Kine.
Yeah, there's a couple.
There's a couple, Catherine Ryan.
Oh, yeah, she...
But I think you get extra points in Australia over Matt O'Kine because of the accent.
See, again,
100%.
Definitely in Australia.
I don't understand why people find this accent. And also, my accent isn't particularly Scottish. In it. To you, it will sound Scottish because I'll say I and shit.
But I think that's even better because, like...
You're understandable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Glaswegian, so you're not, like...
Yeah, I'm not Larry fucking Dean.
I remember I saw Scott Gibson's show when he won...
Yeah.
And the Comedy Award in Edinburgh. And I remember being
the Comedy Award.
I can't remember which award it was.
It's a different fucking one every year.
Yeah, right. I don't want to misquote.
Sure.
And I remember seeing the show and literally, like, it was so funny and it was a great show, but I was like, I've missed at least 7 out of every 10 words that you said.
Amazing.
And luckily it was just one big story. So I was like, I got it. But if it was, if
I
it
understand
was little,
the overarching
yeah,
theme
exactly.
of the show.
Like,
and it
is
seems
funny.
Good, I
yeah,
guess.
Exactly.
There's little throwaway tags that you're just like, everyone laughed. I'll just join in at this
I'm
point.
Like, I'll just nod and smile. That's a, I mean,
that's,
I didn't fully get
that
it.
That is the way of the of a woman when she doesn't understand something. Just nod and smile. And just, yeah, absolutely.
Are you wearing a sweatband on your wrist?
No, I'm wearing a brace on my elbow, or just below my elbow. But thank you for
it's
bringing
a sweat
it up.
Band.
Yeah, what's it for? What'd you do?
Tendinitis.
Tendinitis is a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
It's a real bitch.
It
fuck,
really
genuine
is.
Sympathy.
Thank you.
I get it. I get it on my shoulders because I sleep fucking weird. I skydive sleep.
Yeah, right.
So, on your stomach.
On my stomach. So I skydive sleep. And I'll often just, if you basically, it's my head, fat fucking headrest on my shoulder for 8 hours in a row. And you just wake up and it's like 3 or 4 days of genuine agony.
This is, I ignored it for too long. Mm. So, like, because I've kind of had it a little bit before, but never this bad. And it just, I was like, no, it'll be fine. It's just all the festival stress as well, building up and everything like that. I'm not even doing my day job with, like, because I'm a graphic designer day in the day. And, like, you know, you use a mouse and all that sort of stuff and it's fine. And, but that's usually why it is.
Yeah.
But then I was like, no, I'm not even doing that. So it doesn't matter. It'll get better. And it didn't get better. It got fucking worse to the point where I couldn't lift anything with my right hand.
And now you're wearing a sweatband.
Well, then I got to the point, I put hairspray on the other day and pressing the button of the hairspray hurt.
Not into that.
There's always one angle of it.
Yeah.
You just go, I couldn't lift my elbow up to the right. If I want to put it above, I have to go forward.
Yeah, and exactly.
Then out, oh my and goodness. Twist it.
Yeah.
Because that was just, you feel like a fucking action figure.
Yeah.
You just can't wait, get your
Drying yourself apart.
You've
only
got limited fucking movement and you've got to find a way to maneuver it.
Yeah.
That is uncomfortable, guys.
Yeah, it's real fucking painful.
Yeah, it sounds real.
So thank
really
you for
painful.
The actual sympathy.
Genuine sympathy. I've had tendonitis. Anything else? Like whenever girls talk about their periods, I'm like, myth, whatever.
I don't understand the pain, therefore it's not real.
Yeah. If it doesn't happen to me, why would I care?
Yeah.
No, the tendonitis, you've heard it here first. Yep. It's real.
It's real.
It is real.
Well, when it gets to the point where you can't press the spray can.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That's when I went, I'll probably go see someone about this, I reckon.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Did they do the thing with the fucking little the massage gun that just fucking batters your muscles to death?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also had to do like a...
incredibly painful.
Yeah. I also had to do like a grip strength thing because he wanted to like make sure that... You know, it like I wasn't faking it, I guess. I don't know why I did it.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it was definitely a trap.
Yeah.
It was like, if you can do this, you're lying.
Yeah.
You just want that cool sweatband. Everyone wants a cool sweatband.
It looks really good going to like festival club and stuff like that and wearing like a short sleeve dress and then having this around it. And everyone's like, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, fuck, it doesn't matter.
I'm just hipster.
Yeah, it's just the new look.
It's a very good way to test things. My brother, Jack, when he was about 9 years old, we were all on a trampoline together. And obviously being I'm a lot older than Jack. I'm about 12 years older than him. So I'm on a trampoline and I'm just bullying him just because he's small and I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's my brother, so there's no laws against
anything.
So we're on the trampoline.
Against anything, yeah.
And he's small, so you do that jump where I know when he's going to land, so I just...
The double bounce.
Yeah, the double bounce, just to fucking get him over the net.
Yeah.
So he falls off and he's crying and whatever. So, you know, do the standard big brother thing of laugh and point and then pick him up. And you know, he was complaining about it for like 5 minutes and going up to my mum being like, it's really sore, it's really, really sore. And he then, my mum being, she's got a doctorate in fucking science and stuff. But
she's a smart lady.
I'm a doctor. I'm like, you're not a doctor.
Not like that.
Yeah. She was complaining about his right hand. So she held down his left hand and held a 5-pound note above his head. And then immediately went up and grabbed it. And she was like, right, it's not serious then.
Like, that is amazing.
She is a doctor.
Yeah.
She's
no, because 3 days later, he was still complaining about it. We took him to hospital. Broken collarbone.
No.
Turns out he just wanted that fiver way more than he cared about physical fucking pain.
This is my sister when she was young. She used to break everything.
Yeah.
Like, she had so many injuries. She, like, cut off part of her finger at one point. She bit off part of her tongue when she was younger. Like, went through
a lot
of stuff.
Yeah.
And then there was one time when she hurt her ankle at school.
Mm-hmm.
And mum and dad mum had just got to the point where she was just like, oh, for Christ's sake, you can't have possibly done another thing.
Mm.
Absolutely not. And then she was like, you'll be fine. You can walk. Three weeks later, my sister's like, no, my ankle still really hurts. Went to broken ankle. She'd just been walking around on it for three weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is good for it, I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. It's the best way of healing it.
Yeah, with broken ankles, just walking off. That's exactly what the doctor would have said.
Yesterday, I was out and about in the city, and I saw this lady bend down to, like, tie up her shoelace.
Yeah.
But she was, like, adjusting a Velcro strap on this, like, ridiculous-looking shoe. It was, like, literally just, like a paddle, and then it had like Velcro straps on it, right?
Right.
And she was adjusting that, and I was like, that is the ugliest shoe I have ever seen. What the fuck? Why would you wear that? That is horrible. And then I took another step and looked at her other foot, and she was wearing just like a normal slip-on.
Oh, so you...
It was a moon boot.
Judged someone who'd broken a bone.
Yeah.
I'm also just weird that you've never seen that before. That's the equivalent of me seeing someone in a cast being like, fucking hell, those wellies are shit.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but it wasn't, you know how like the ones that...
Moon boots are like full-on boots?
This was just literally it looks like a sandal, but like a really ugly sandal.
Oh, okay.
But it was actually like...
It was a moon boot.
Yeah, it was pretty funny though. And the Velcro, it threw me because it was all black and it looked like it could have been an actual shoe.
So she's got like...
Actually, it's good.
A stylish-ish moon boot.
Yeah, but an ugly shoe.
Velcro's another one. I don't know why Velcro is... Like, for some reason, I don't know who it was, whether it was women or like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, the original season, or whatever it was. I don't know why Velcro isn't on all shoes. Like, who enjoys tying their fucking laces?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, what? For some, enough people made Velcro jokes. Now all of us have agreed to never wear Velcro shoes unless we're a 45-year-old dad.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate that.
You're pissed.
I have to untie my fucking shoelaces every fucking morning. So I just kick them off.
Yeah.
I've double knotted them. Yeah. I have to fucking unknot them and then I've got to re-fucking tie them.
No, it is annoying.
This is why I wear boots like this that have nothing on them. They just
those,
slip on.
Those are the types that Cody wears. Yes. The big slip-on ones. I'm fine with those. But yeah, I just don't know why we've shat on Velcro so much.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I
think it's the noise.
Probably, I think so too. Probably, but you only hear that noise once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like you'd never have like Velcro instead of a zip on your trousers just because that's not the sound.
Board shorts.
Board shorts. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the sound your partner who you're about to fuck ever wants to hear. That's not a sexy sound.
Yeah, you're right. Actually thinking about it, I like it.
Would you? What about if a guy said, I'm going to pay for a meal and then you just hear the sound? Velcro.
That has happened to me in my life. It was a Pokemon wallet.
Oh, no.
In that case, I'm actually now fine with it. Because then clearly it's a bit. Like,
yeah, that's definitely a bit. Yeah.
Either that or you were on a date with a 7-year-old.
Which one was it?
I think it was a comedian.
Yeah, that also makes
name
sense.
Them. Name them.
Yeah,
name
I don't want to.
Here's my guesses. Demi Lardner, Sam Campbell, Tom Walker. Fuck, who else could it be? Could be Stu Dolman. That's not a
could be
him.
Dolman. Previous guest. I can see him with a Pokemon, but it would be
I have morphed it into a story in my mind. Like maybe I've just seen one of these people with that.
Yeah.
And then been like, oh, yeah.
I definitely went on a date with them. That's how your brain works.
You have to make it. I've dated someone that it's absolutely about me.
It makes it a better bit. It makes a better story for sure.
Well, that sounds like a comedian.
Yeah. That sounds like something I would do.
Yeah.
Right.
Making it all about you.
Yes. Speaking of all about me, let me tell you a story.
Great.
Both. When I was in Edinburgh, I was staying near Leith Walk, like Princes Street. Is that what it is?
That's not near Leith Walk.
Like the one that connects to Leith Walk.
Oh, though. Yeah. But Leith Walk is like a mile and a bit long. Yeah.
Anyway, we've got factual corrections now, which is great. Yeah.
As someone who's never been there, I'm so glad for all this detailed information.
Yeah. I was really just trying to trick Vicky. She has no idea. I could have said anything.
Yeah.
It's on the moon.
So I was on the moon, aka Edinburgh. And I was staying in this apartment and it was basically just student accommodation that they turned into. It was basically a 2-bedroom house that they had turned into like a 5-bedroom student accommodation place.
Which is exactly what you do at Edinburgh.
Yes, exactly. And so I was staying in, we each had a room each, which was very good. And I was staying in my room one night, we were like halfway through the festival and I was asleep. It was probably like 2, 3 a.m. in the morning and I wake to this weird sound. And it sounds like, in my mind, I've just woken up and I think to myself, wow, I know exactly what this sound is. There's someone under my bed and they've got thongs, like flip-flops, and they're tapping the flip-flops on the ground, just one.
That is like, such a weird, specific thing.
Yeah,
for
but
you
that's
to...
what my brain did. I woke up and I was like, yep, 100%. That's what's happening.
Can I guess what this is?
Yes.
Based on the fact that you've just said it's like people walking in flip-flops. Assuming it's people having sex.
Yeah.
No,
I'm assuming it was masturbating.
No, if you hear it's people in running in flip-flops, room. It sounds like really, really rough sex.
Yeah, right.
It was in my room. The noise was in my room.
Okay.
It wasn't outside of my room.
I was positive you were going to be right then.
So was I. Yeah. I was not prepared for the rest of the story. Yeah. I thought, I've nailed it in one. I've cut you off.
You didn't. Yeah. I've ruined it. I've done it. Yeah. Pullback reveal, no need. I've already done it.
Yeah. I've treated this like your story like a quiz show.
Yeah.
I got it right.
Yeah, the most comedian thing to do is you're telling a story and I keep interrupting you going, I'm right.
So anyway, it was people in the other room having sex.
So you're right.
I'm like, that is what it is.
Yeah.
Someone snuck into my room. They're under my bed. They're going to fucking kill me.
Yeah.
They've got my thongs because I had thongs.
Yep.
They've got my thongs and that's what they're doing. They're tapping it on the floor. They want me to wake up suddenly and be like fucking freaked out.
What a way of waking you up.
Your brain is a fucking weird place.
I know.
Like just to deconstruct what you thought. Like, I don't know whether this is like the difference between, you know, like as a man, I've never been scared of walking home. My friends will never text me saying, get home safe, text me. So maybe this is a level of privilege, but maybe. I do feel like maybe in this situation, you are a fucking idiot, which is you think somebody has broken into your room. And they don't want to just murder you because that would be too easy. They've got to see the fear in your eyes.
Yeah, they have to wake you up. Sleep,
guys, I don't know what you want from me. That is genuinely what my brain did.
But for, like, what? Like, they're just, they're tapping your, they found your flip-flops. They ignored the heels. They were like, heels are a bit too.
Yeah.
And they're slapping them off the floor. All right, Grant. Keep going. Sorry. I just, it's very interesting.
Great.
I know, but that just, that's what happened. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yep.
And then I'm lying in bed and I'm like, okay, well, who's going to move first? Is it going to be me or is it going to be them? They don't know I'm awake yet. So maybe I can just like
surprise them.
Yeah, stay asleep because they clearly only want to murder you if you're awake. Yeah. So just sleep through it. Yeah. And maybe they'll fall asleep. And then you wake up in the morning and you
and
can
I'm
just.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's the ultimate
twist.
Right
next to the kitchen. So yeah. It's so going to happen. No, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to very, very quickly, like so quickly, like stealthy, like a ninja, I'm going to get up from my bed and just sort of jump and slap the light on. So that I can see what I'm faced with.
I've never seen you move like ninja-like.
In this situation, Vicky.
When the flip-flop murderer is in town, she is lightning fast. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Fair enough. No.
So genuinely, it was like I was flying. I flew from my bed to the light switch, switched it on. Someone was having sex under my bed. No, I'm just kidding.
I hate you so much.
And switch on the light, and I turn around expecting to see this person under my bed with my thongs.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, imagine that.
Shocker.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I really thought you guys would, yeah, I mean, it
I genuinely thought there was a person under your bed.
Fool me too. Turn on the light, turn around, no one there. Look up. There is water just like dripping very, very consistently from my ceiling.
Great.
And then like after maybe a second, it starts to really like piss down like a waterfall from the ceiling and through the light. So it just turns the light on and it goes out obviously because there's water running through it.
Great.
And then it proceeds to just get heavier and heavier, right? And it's just pissing into my room. I'm in complete pitch black now because the light's gone off because water damaged it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, fuck, what do I do? Like, am I going to drown in here? Like, what's happening? Anyway.
Yeah, that was my first thought. Is she going to drown in here? Fuck.
Mm-hmm. It's for effect, you motherfucker.
I don't understand storytelling. I do not understand storytelling.
Fucking last time I told you guys a story. And then
I just like where your brain goes. Very interesting. Sounds scary in there.
Yeah.
Sounds much scarier in your head than it is in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the water coming from the ceiling.
Definitely.
No, I get that. Like in that situation, what floor are you on?
The third. Like we were up.
So there's stuff above you.
Yes.
Right. So it's not rain leaking.
No, it wasn't raining. Sorry, I took a drink. I'm thirsty after all this great storytelling. So I woke up and obviously I was out of the bed and I was like, maybe I should run and tell the others. And I realized it was 3 a.m. So I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to do that. So I just proceeded to get, because I'm a fucking idiot, all of my stuff out of my suitcase and dried the water on the floor with my clothes.
Yep.
I didn't have a towel. There might have been one towel that I already used and it was so much water that it was still wet. So I was like, fuck. So I just got a few t-shirts and like put them down on the floor. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, cool. That'll like stop the water for now.
You're so confusing.
And then I just go back to bed, right?
What? You go back with you just it still went pouring back to in. Bed.
Well, it eventually stopped. So it got really, really heavy and then it got less and then it was gone.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed.
Just as long as you're not sleeping. Like, just
there's a waterfall in your room.
No. Imagine. It's just, I'm so tranquil.
It's just like being in Thailand. It's just so...
And then the murderer got out and gave me a massage. It was so nice. And so I went back to sleep, woke up the next day, told the others. They were like, what the fuck? Came in, had a look, and it like was real. I didn't dream it. And
imagine that, though, if you... It was all a dream.
Yeah. Turns out I'm a ghost.
Yeah.
Anyway, and turns out that the people above us, so we're on the third floor, I think, and they're on obviously the fourth, they had a 2 a.m. Bath.
And it overflowed?
And the bath leaked into
Great.
So when they let the bath out, the pipe leaked. The whole bath leaked into my room.
I assumed you were going to say like that they'd fallen asleep or something and it just overflowed.
The pipes and they hadn't had... I don't think there was anyone in that apartment until that time.
So they didn't know.
And then they had a really late bath.
Yeah.
They probably did fuck. There probably was fucking.
I would say there would have been, probably.
It's like a romantic bath and then all of their sexy water was on my luggage.
Sexy water.
I don't have a bath mouse, but I'll only take baths late in the evening if I'm on ecstasy.
Yeah, I can see that.
For some reason, whenever I'm on pills, I am drawn to water. Like whenever we've done it in Spain and stuff, there's always a point in the evening when my friends go, where's Sloss? And they won't have seen me for 5 minutes and they just go, he's in the fucking ocean. No, so I'm in the ocean. I'm I've just gone down, and they'll come down and they're like, this is how people die. And I'm like, no, nah, it's fine.
it's me. I'll be fine.
And but with friends, at my house, even when we're having house parties and there's no beach nearby, I'll run a bath and then make two of my friends just get in the bath with me. I love water when I'm in place. It's real good. It's very relaxing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's just me and three guys sick because it's a one-person bath, legs over the side, nice. Just our arses in them.
Yeah, great.
I've done it with Jen Fricker and Sam Campbell as well. We did that in Perth. There was less drugs involved then. I think that was just
it was just like, oh, hey, let's
get
in the bath.
Were drunk and we wanted to break into the pool, and then the pool was locked, and we were like, well, what's the second best thing to a pool?
Yeah.
We all
the
got
tiny
in the bath.
Pool in the room.
So like a cold water bath.
No, it was a hot water. It was, we run the bath, and then me, Sam, and Jen were all just like in our, not even swimming costume, but like underwear.
Yeah.
And then just arses in, feet out, head out. So it was just... like just our crotches and arses underwater.
Great. Which is really all you need when you're in water, because that's really the sweet spot for the water.
Yeah, that's about I want to cover as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I would never do the opposite. It would never be my head and my feet in the
water.
And
just my ass and my dick out.
Like, if I ask any of my friends to do that in a bath with me, they're like, what the fuck is this, some sort of mating ritual? Like, three of us, heads in the water, legs in the water, and then a girl comes in and she picks her fucking favorite. Yeah. What is this, you fucking weirdo?
I can see that, yeah. But it's like, it's the bit where, you know, like you go into the ocean and that's the bit that's like tough to get in. So I guess that's the bit you're like, no, if I acclimatize this bit, it feels like all of me's in, it's fine.
It's just if it's, I don't know what it is. I think it's like, if you go in the ocean, especially in like in hot places at night in Spain, when the sea, especially the shallow bit, still warm.
Warm,
you're like, you're only 2 feet in, but I don't know whether it's like, if it feels like being in the womb again, but for me, it's especially if you're on pills, it's the most relaxing thing.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason that those tanks are a thing.
Oh, I've always wanted to do one of them. But
yeah, I've done them.
Are they good?
Yeah,
so this is the one where it's like the water is like body temperature,
exact body temperature, pitch black, and you like it's full of salt, so you can just float.
Yeah,
and it's just like you're in a pod thing, and they have like when you get in there, there's light. And then a little bit of relaxing music, and then eventually the light turns off, and then the music goes away, and then you're just in silence, and you just have to...
For how long?
The ones that I did were 45 minutes, I think. So
you
like
fell asleep.
The second time I fell asleep, thank you very much. Yeah, it was
worth it.
It's just a really expensive nap.
It was.
That's what we,
It was a really expensive nap.
What are you meant to get out of it? It's meant to be relaxing?
Yeah, relaxing and like, I guess sort of the same sort of thing that you get out of like meditation... That sort of thing.
Oh, fuck all. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. But like a lot of people are like, you know, if you keep going, you make it a part of your routine. If you're like a creative person, a lot of your ideas can come then. And
yeah, but where do you write them down?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's I know that there's someone I know that used to do them that used to take like a waterproof pad and pen in there.
Oh, great.
And I'm like, doesn't that sort of take away from the, because you've got to like hang on to this thing, and the whole point is that you're literally not
float even
touching.
To
yeah, but then you've got to like look for it, and then you get salt water in your eyes, and then it's fucked.
Why wouldn't you just take a person, pay a person to be outside?
And you just yell shit at them?
Yo, I've had an idea.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it would be good for that. Like the reason I've tried meditation so many times because it's one of the very few things that is hippie that I don't think is 100% horseshit.
Yes, I agree.
I think with meditation, if you take, you're not joining the earth. There's no such thing as a fucking chakra. It's not, you're not contact. There's no energy. There's fuck all. I think taking a bunch of time to yourself to regulate your breathing, sit down and clear your head is a very good mental health exercise.
That's how I don't do it enough, but I used to meditate a lot, and then occasionally I'll still do it, and it's the only thing that I've sort of the only hippie-ish sort of thing that I'm like, yeah, no, I get that. That makes sense. Because, you know, sure, I'll sit here and just be in myself and think about my breathing and not to think about like all
anything
the other
else,
shit that's going on and all that sort of stuff. Like, I think that's healthy.
Yeah, it's good. I can't do it. My brain's too active.
Yeah, I can't do it. It's real fucking hard.
Even for the guided ones, when like if you've got a thought that comes in, you don't push the thought away. What you do is like you imagine the thought. You're in the ocean.
Yeah.
And the thought is like a bit of woods, and you acknowledge it, and you just push it away slowly. I'm just like, I'm being overrun by fucking debris here.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice for you that only one bit of wood's hitting you in the face, but like, clearly there's the Titanic went down very nearby here because there's screaming and so much shrapnel.
Well, the thing that I was like, oh, it's like a road and you're watching the cars go past. Mm. And like, sometimes it's like a, you know, a quiet country road, other times it's like a highway, and you know, and I'm like, no, mine is like fucking bedlam. Just, you know, it's the Tullamarine Freeway at peak hour. That is my brain. And I'm like, I can't do it. It's just
a lot of random racist comics being shouted from
the car windows. There's a lot of shit being shouted from those cars. There's so much road rage just constantly. My brain's fun.
Yeah. I went to a meditation and yoga retreat in Nepal. We've spoken about it on the podcast.
Yes, you're the perfect person to have here for this, because I've given her so much shit, and everyone else, like most other people, have been like, yeah, that sounds really great. And I'm like, no.
Let me ask you an ignorant question first. Where is Nepal?
Where is Nepal?
Yeah, no idea. I know I've heard of it.
And it's where Mount Everest is.
Yeah, and it's near India.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. So I went and I did a meditation and yoga retreat, and I went there, and there was this French yogi who was like...
Those are two of the words I hate most in the world.
French and yogi.
I fucking despise French.
I can't remember what his name is, but it was you would hate that as well. He had a name you'd hate.
Yeah, that's fair.
And he said the same thing about meditation. We had to wake up at 5 a.m. and then meditate for an hour every day.
No.
And
also, you're a beginner in that. An hour is too much.
You could enter or leave at any time. You just had to be quiet.
Okay.
So, like, if it started at 5, beginners could come at, say, like, 5:45 and the last 15 minutes of the session. Or you could come at 5:30 or
because, like, all the guided meditation things that I've ever tried, like, the first few sessions are 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's just to...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Start getting you into like the practice of doing it.
But also when you do yoga, you have a point of meditation at the end of your session, which is 5 minutes meditation. So I was doing that.
Fuck yoga.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, yoga's another one. I think stretching is...
Fine with stretching.
Fuck off. Don't even start me.
It's not. No, yoga's another one where I'm like, as long as you do not pitch it to me that you are fucking connecting to any higher power or that you're aligning chakras, if all you're doing is like, this is a good stretch, there's science behind stretching.
I agree with that.
It's strength and stretching.
Oh, again, that's fine. Again, whenever I see people who are like real good at fucking yoga where they can do that thing where they get onto their hands and I'm like, if you're doing all this stuff and what it's strengthening and it's training and
absolutely.
It's a form of it, all fine. The second you're like, this one will get you, you can fucking die.
Yeah.
you can die and nothing will happen to you afterwards.
Yep.
That's what you fucking get.
Yeah.
But no, I am genuinely tempted to do one of those. I had a friend do the silent retreats.
Oh, yeah. Well, here we go. Yeah.
Oh, is that what you did? Sorry.
I did that as well. I did
a full one?
No. I did like 4 days of no eating and fasting and silence.
How was it?
She
was
texted me amazing. Every day.
You were allowed your phone in there?
Yeah, we were allowed our phones.
Ah, see, my friend and the one that you're not allowed your phone.
Yeah, and everyone's in silence? Yeah.
So her one was you wake up at 5, you meditate for 2 hours, you then get like a fruit breakfast, you can wander around, and then it's, I think you do 12 hours of the day meditating.
Wow.
Jesus.
And the whole thing is silent. It's 2 meals a day.
Wow.
Fast, and you go to bed at like 8 and you're up at 5 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But no matter where you go, there's no, it's just silence the whole time.
Yeah.
She said it, she was like, it put a lot of things into perspective.
Yeah.
Like having no distractions.
Yeah.
And
right.
Part of me is like, that sounds great. But I also figure if I do that, my stand up career is fucking over. I don't want to get woke.
Yeah.
Like, that's fair. That's so not true. Good for my fucking career. I don't want to be relaxed.
Yeah.
Because it will be utterly detrimental to my stand up career.
Totally, yeah.
I've got to go on stage and I'm going to be like, this is shit. You're a fucking idiot. I hate this thing. And also, here's why I want to kill this person.
Yeah.
I can't be like, we're all the one. We're all the same. This is all. What is this?
Yeah.
The show's free. There's tofu at the end. Fuck that shit.
Hippies aren't funny. It's scientifically proven. Yeah.
Those people exist so I can make fun of them and then make money, which to them means nothing, but to me means the world.
Yeah. It means everything.
Absolutely.
Speaking of your show that's about... What was it? Kill this person. I hate this. Fuck that shit.
That's his new bio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much my
Daniel Slosson. Fuck your shit.
Yeah.
Kill that person. I hate it.
Yeah. all my shows are essentially, here's the things I hate, and here's a very long explanation for why you're wrong for disagreeing with me.
That's fair.
But I heard this show is awesome.
Thank you.
Yes. The same person that was like, oh my God, say hi to him, he's so handsome, was like, his show is amazing. So it's about you thinking that you're a sociopath.
I don't think I'm a sociopath.
You don't think
I don't think I'm a sociopath. I know I'm not a sociopath.
People right. think you are?
Yes. Right. I know for a fact I'm not a sociopath because unlike most people, I know what a sociopath is and I know what a psychopath is.
Yes. yeah. Oh, I know what a psychopath is. I fucking love that shit. Yeah. It's my favorite stuff. That's, I love it.
Whereas I know for a fact I'm not. But I think there's a... The thing that really annoys me after my show this year is like I've got a sociopath test, right? And it's not a valid one. Mm. It's the one I did when I was 9. It's utter horseshit. but 20% of the audience will get it every time. And then at the show, people go, oh my God, you made me realize I was a sociopath. I'm like, listen to the fucking show. Yeah. None of us are sociopaths.
Yeah, right. Like, so what is a sociopath then if you're not...
Sociopaths...
if it's not you, then what is it?
Sociopaths lack empathy because of something that happened to them during their childhood that stunted the growth... the brain. So basically it's like, and lacking empathy doesn't necessarily mean anything evil. It just means that they're not empathetic. It doesn't mean they don't want to be.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean they don't necessarily understand emotions and stuff. They still have emotions, but it's just, they find it hard to be empathetic.
Yeah,
and
right.
with a lot of the stuff I say on stage, I understand why people arrive at that conclusion.
Yeah.
Like, if you only watch my stand-up, I understand why you think I'm a sociopath. Yep. But even then, there's enough in my stand-up where it's like, I clearly love a lot of things.
I was going to say, you talk about your family and all that sort of stuff. And
my friends, I clearly talk about things I love. But,
and when Vicky had the sweatband, you were like, oh, I'm genuinely, I feel that.
I get
That's not sociopathic behavior.
No, I agree.
Because it's not psychopathic. I'm an egocentric, I'm a narcissist, I have a God complex and older brother complex. I know all my issues.
Yeah. Sociopath I was going to say, narcissism is definitely up there for, well, most comedians, to be fair. Like,
you wouldn't do it if you weren't.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I do like to think I'm the biggest narcissist in this fucking business.
That's fine,
But I think that's important. That's gotten you where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
And
like, you are a God. You're God-like. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't...
he this doesn't... All, don't this. Don't is all great. This.
This is all perfect.
Don't.
Someone's got to play into it. I mean, everyone wants to play against it, but I want to play into it.
Listen, no, but you don't need to because he sells out his shows.
Yeah, I've got 400 people every night playing into my narcissism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's so true.
But thank you nonetheless.
A demigod, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I genuinely... I'm going to try this stage... This year, I'm going to try and walk off to... You're Welcome from Moana.
I'm going to have it stuck in my head for the rest of the
day. Because I want to walk off the line, which is just, I know it's a lot, just going to close the show with the line, I know it's a lot, the hair, the bod, when you're staring at a demigod.
Yeah,
and then just walk off to, what can I say except for You're Welcome?
That is
I find arrogance the funniest fucking thing in the world. Yeah. I love it so. And because we work in a business where... There's so much of it on stage, but off stage, there's none of it.
Yeah, that's the problem with comedians is they get up on stage and they're like, I am everything. And they get off stage and they're like, I'm the fucking worst. And
I don't like it. Like, it must be, I know that obviously there's multiple issues surrounding about why
of
that's
course,
the case.
Yes.
But being someone who is fortunate enough to not have depression or anxiety or anything like that, I just don't have it. I'm just like, why? I feel real bad that you don't feel... Because I feel like I am on stage most of the time.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's the level of confidence I take to everyday life. And with all comedians that are fucking better than me, right? Some are so much more fucking talented. They'll go on stage, rip a gig, then come up and be like, oh, God, I'm real bad. I'm like, buddy, fucking transfer it over.
Yeah.
Fucking redo. And then I also hate full humbleness.
Tell this one to this one.
Oh, what?
When you have a not-so-great gig and then you spend, like, the rest of the day going, oh, nah.
Yeah.
You're always great.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Yeah. It's how long have you been doing comedy for?
4 years.
Oh, that's... Oh, then legit response. You're absolutely fine.
Yeah.
You've got to... I always say you've got to have enough sort of years under the belt and enough trophies and talismans to be able to... Like, I understand, like, 4 or 5 years when I was in was still like, I don't belong in this business.
Oh, so you started when you were extremely young.
Yeah. But even that... But that also made me feel like an imposter for
so much
of this.
Yeah.
Because I always felt like I'd gotten my breaks because I was young, which is probably true for some of them, but not all of them.
Yeah.
If it was true, though, you wouldn't still be doing it.
Exactly. But it took me a long time to realize that. So there were 5 years in comedy where I was not, you know, that confident, and then my arrogance was absolutely me sort of just trying to counteract the insecurities I had on
So was it a fake it till you make it sort of situation then, or
it was it was the first joke I did that I ever felt was truly in my voice. I went, that, you know, I can write a fucking joke, I'm good at writing jokes, but that was the first joke I was like, oh, this is, that's me.
Yeah.
And the second, and the, if that joke ever didn't go down well, I genuinely didn't give a shit. Because I was 100%. That was fucking me.
Yeah.
That was me to a T.
Yeah.
And anyone who didn't like it, they didn't like me, and that was fine. Beforehand, it was just they didn't like the jokes, which makes you think, oh God, I'm a bad joke writer.
Right.
Yeah.
The second
right.
they don't like that joke, that's me. They don't like me, and I don't give a fuck if you don't like me because I like me.
That's so beautiful. I like that. I feel like that's revolutionary to me,
to
my
you.
Being personally. Yeah. I'm like, yes, I like that. So I just need to write a joke that's. Truly
yeah.
me.
But yeah, it could take, could be next week. It could take a couple of
How
years.
How long have you been doing it?
Almost 11 years now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like started.
But you were like 16 or whatever when you started, yeah?
Yeah,
or,
yeah. Six. Yeah. Yeah.
TED Talk by 19.
TED Talk by 22.
Oh, 22.
22.
Close.
Yeah.
I was. I mean, I'm playing into this. I'm trying to make you sound better. Come on. Yeah, yeah, come yeah. with me on this journey. yeah, wow. And now you're now. So once you wrote that joke, you found your voice, and then you've been sitting in that voice ever since.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. There, I have had some of the fucking. Even now, I have deaths, like horrific deaths, and or ones where it just doesn't go well at all.
But, really?
Oh yeah, fucking.
That surprises
me. Hemel Hempstead last year was a horrible place in England. That at this point, I genuinely could not give a fuck if it gets bombed. It's one of those places I call it. Yep. I call it a butterfly city. You know the butterfly effect,
yep.
which is if you were to stand on a butterfly, go back in time, stand on a butterfly, it would have changed all of your. You could get rid of all of Hemel Hempstead, and nothing in the world changes. Like, that's how unimportant it is, and
right.
everyone there.
Great.
And I'll never go back. So I'm still holding on to bitterness from the gig.
Yeah, when fair. Was this? 11 years
October,
ago.
No, October last year.
Oh, okay. So it's
not recent.
Yeah. So I was doing the show, turned up, and never been Hemel Hempstead before. They were like, it's sold out. And I was like, that's fucking weird.
How many people?
Hundreds.
Hundreds, okay.
Go in, realize very quickly that 80% of the audience is over 65. And
oh,
this
good.
Is what I fucking hate
mm-hmm.
about the art centers in the UK. Art centers, they just cater to... pensioners have nothing to do, so they support the local art centre. And the way they support the local art centre is by watching everything that's on. Now,
yeah.
I am not for pensioners.
Yeah.
I absolutely am not.
Yeah.
I swear I'm rude. I have a level of arrogance that they find uncomfortable because I'm young and
yep.
I'm threatening.
Yes.
And
you have tattoos.
Yeah.
That's also threatening.
I've got jokes with fucking pedophiles on my show.
I heard that video is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I do.
Great.
I talk
that was
little,
the one bit that stood out.
Yeah,
right.
They were like, oh, get him to talk about that bit.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got
there
my
you bit. Go. Crushed it, whoever.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And yeah, just about 20 people in the audience knew who I was at the ages, and just... silence got heckled, and some guy was like, you're very bad at this, and I was
what?
Like
what
yeah yeah
just
and but and it was very hard to deal with. It was one of the worst times I've had on stage, but you just, and it takes you a while to just go, yeah you're not, this isn't
this
for
isn't you.
You
yeah
like
yeah.
this is, and it's on me, like it should have been marketed differently.
Yeah,
I shouldn't have come here, I should have picked it different, like it's all on me and my people.
Yeah,
but you know, they're not wrong for hating it, because why would they like that show?
It's not for
it's,
them.
It's
yeah,
not for them.
Enough.
And also, but it would be fucking the most damaging thing in the world for me to then walk off stage and then write a show that those cunts like.
I was going
to
say, yeah, that's not...
That's not your...
That's not...
Yeah.
Yeah. So it still fucking happens, but it's, you know, the
There's
second you do
reasons
something that
behind
you
it.
Genuinely love,
yeah.
you're like, I love this routine. I love the way I do it.
Yeah.
And also, I had the advantage of I'd done the show enough times that I knew it was good.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so that's
the
thing.
Outlier.
Like, you've
yeah.
done your current show to so many audiences,
yeah.
and, like, most of them have loved it.
Yeah.
So, you know, last...
That is what happened last night. I just had a bunch of middle-aged men, and I was like, this is
exactly, and they're not for you.
They're not for me.
Yeah,
no.
They're not for you.
Some of them are. When they're in couples, it's okay.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
they
yeah.
come as a unit, fuck.
Yeah.
So incorrect.
I've had some pensioners. I've got some very old fans that love my stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's outliers and everything, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
But in general, but to, yeah.
To a whole room of that.
To a whole room of that, and it's... But it's fucking, you need it every now and again. You need that fucking kick
just
up
just
the ass to
yeah,
remind you.
It up
yeah,
a
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Because it gives you the horrible level of fear that, like, once you've seen your babies die, like, and once you've seen them really fucking die, you will put, like, you'll either do one of two things. You'll either put so much effort into them the next day, or the fear that you've questioned every single part of the joke because you've done a punchline, they've not laughed, and that's then playing in your head for 24 fucking hours. So the next time you do it, you mix it up a little bit and it makes it fresh. Because when you've been doing the fucking festival every day, you're saying the same jokes over and over again. Sometimes, and it is our fault, the performers, we get stale.
Totally.
And it takes an audience, like that to just fucking shake the dust, just to knock you and be like, oh, fucking, I was reining it in. I was too used to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. And it gets like, almost autopilot sometimes, if you, especially if it's a crowd that isn't, I can imagine.
Who isn't giving you what
you're like, well, you know what? I'll just switch on and I'll just say the words and have fun. Yeah. Catch your cunts. You know, like, that's,
Is that how you ended it last night? Bye, cunts.
Catch your cunts.
Also, Thursdays are always weird crowds.
I heard from pretty much everyone last night that it wasn't a great show for pretty much everyone I spoke to.
Yeah, Thursdays have been weird this year. For me,
and it was like, I was like, I'm going to celebrate this in a very low-key style because while it was full, it was not fun.
Last Thursday, the festival. Thursdays are normally, what happens is, it's people that, it's not the weekend, so nobody wants to get maggot. Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Sundays are always great because those are the people that genuinely want to see your show that comes to see your show.
Tuesdays can be hit and miss because it's cheap tickets, though.
True. So that depends on who's flying for
it
you.
It does.
And what demographic they fly.
Yeah.
Whereas Thursdays is always fucking Sue from the office has decided that we should all go see a show.
Office
it's the last weekend of the festival. We should go see something. So I've got some choices. Everyone give me money. Mm-hmm. And then Sue's picked one for eight fucking people.
Yes.
It's six women. It's two blokes.
Yep.
It's a weird mix. The age ranges off. It's different. It's,
and they're not with their friends. They're with their colleagues. And so where friends would G you up and be like, oh, I remember that time you did that.
Yeah.
Colleagues are like, don't laugh at this. It's about drugs.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's a good point.
I can't laugh at this because my boss is right
there. Yeah. That's right. Exactly. Well, I'm glad this has been such an uplifting podcast for me.
Feel better about yourself?
Yeah.
I genuinely want to run something next year where I just, because I always get very, very sick of seeing my friends who are incredibly good at their job just being affected by what a festival. Like, I've got, I won't mention his name, one of my good friends read a bad review about himself. And
don't do that.
don't read reviews.
Don't read reviews at all. Yeah, simple. I haven't done for years. And he's such a good fucking comic, and I saw how much it affected him. And it's just to fucking sit down and be like, look, here's everything you need to know about specifically this reviewer, who I also hate.
Yeah.
Here's his deepest, darkest secrets that I will reveal one day. Here's all the ways that I'm happy to bully this reviewer.
Perfect.
I'm old school bully as well.
Yeah.
Like, really.
Like, I will get on a trampoline and I will double jump.
Yeah. Or way pettier. I've always thought, like, I genuinely think reviewers are scum. I don't care about reviewers for my show at this point because fuck you.
Doesn't matter.
I'll respect your opinion when you earn more than me, cunt. Right? Up until that time.
No, that's fair.
That's fair. But I think reviewers do not take their responsibility
into account.
Well, I've seen reviews and knock the confidence of so many young new comedians.
Absolutely.
Where they've put their heart and soul into the show. And you know what? Yeah, fuck it. It's not a fucking great show. They're 2 years into the fucking industry.
Yeah.
They're still trying to find the voice. And you had the fucking audacity to not only write that review, but then publish it where you know... We all know none of the public read it.
No. It's for the family, friends, and colleagues of that person.
Yes. And this person who's new to the fucking game, who's just doing their first festival, you have put up on a fucking website in front of all their peers or the people that they want to one day be their peers. You've put up this review and you've besmirched them, and it's a massive knock to the confidence.
Great.
So I think the only fair retribution is that I knock your confidence. And the best way I can knock your confidence is to remind you that me and my friends are tougher than you are.
Yeah.
Which is, so we just go up to, I won't mention his name, but we all know who I'm talking about.
I think I do know who you're talking about.
We all know who I'm talking about. I've always wanted to just go up to him and Max Watts, where the reviewers also should not be allowed in artist bars.
Why are they?
They're not allowed. They
and if it's the one that I think you're talking about, he just wanders around by himself and just, you know. Yeah.
And also the festival flies him over and pays for his accommodation.
Yeah.
I really want to go up to him and just never physically touch him, but just properly, like, just do that thing where you pretend to punch and just watch him, because he'll flinch every time.
Of course he will.
Yeah.
I've got to put the fear into him that he puts into everyone else, because I can only assume the reason he keeps doing what he's doing and the way he acts, the way he's act, is because he's forgotten what fear feels like. He doesn't take responsibility for the fear that he puts into people.
Yeah.
So he needs to feel that fear. And the way I can do that is by following him down a dark alley. I'm not touching him. I'm just following him. I'm walking the same way.
This is very incriminating. I mean,
he's not going to touch him.
I'm not going to
touch
him.
No, I'm not going to do anything.
No, but also, you don't want him to hear this. Give
a shit. Fucking confront me, cunt. I'd love to. Oh, mate. Fucking bring it. Absolutely. Write a fucking article. Yeah. Mention my name on your shitty website and watch how much more views you get, you fucking dog.
That's a good point. Yeah. We would, yeah.
Me and Kai, he's always wanted to, whatever we say with a bar in Edinburgh, is to just Kai talk to him, me go behind him, and just crouch down, and then just push him over. Nothing in his hands, nothing to actually physically hurt him. But then just don't let him get back up.
Like turtle him on the ground. Yeah,
but just for him to experience, he's like a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
Like, none of us get... Because he'd be like, this is children bullying.
Yep.
And I shouldn't be experiencing it. We're like, you absolutely shouldn't be. Nope. But it is happening.
But look what's happening. And guess why, mate? Because you're... Yep.
I've seen this man, and I've seen so many other reviewers affect too many of my close friends.
There's one in Melbourne who is particularly well known for it as well, and I would love to bully him. Anyway.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah.
Is it that time?
Yeah, sure.
So the third part of our podcast, Daniel, I did it, is called Hypothetically Yes, and I've come up with a hypothetical question based on some stuff that we've chatted about today. Now, at the beginning of the podcast, or maybe it has been edited out, depending on what Vicky decides, you said that Melbourne is not even in the top 10 cities. You're not a big fan.
Oh, no. I love Melbourne. I love being here. I love the festival. I think it's a great city. I just think that everyone who thinks
it's the best city in
the world. Yeah, you're utterly wrong.
Yes.
And I am correct.
Yes.
Like, it's not the best city in
the world. Yes. And we discussed some cities that are better. Yeah. So, would you rather have to live in Melbourne, so your home base is Melbourne, or you're never allowed in water other than showers again? Yes, I did it.
So I'd have to live in Melbourne forever?
Yes.
No. No. So I'll fucking, honestly, fuck the sea. Like, at that point, like, yeah, I love the sea. Not a chance.
But I mean, travel lots.
I do.
But still.
I'm not. It's no. Like, my base is very, very important to me. Like, same reason whenever I go to the States and they're like, when are you moving over here? And I'm like,
absolutely never.
No. I would say, when you give me $10 million.
No, I get that.
I'll move here for 10 million because I need to be able to buy a private jet so I can fly home to where I actually live every fucking weekend.
Yeah.
My home is Scotland. Yeah. That is where I live.
Yeah.
That's where my family is. That's my home.
Yeah,
I love that.
No, that's fair.
And that's never, ever, ever going to do it. You know what? I'm not saying never, ever, but it might. But I don't want it to.
Okay, well, now you can never be in water other than shower again.
Fine.
I said hypothetically yes, but it's actually your reality now.
Yeah, it's true.
Big Gems Comedy Gems has a lot of pool in the world, the ether, etc.
Well, surely I'm not allowed in pools either.
I was going to say
yeah,
pool.
Well, no pools. No pools. We actually have zero pools at Big Gems Comedy Gems. But yes, so you would choose no. No.
Not a chance.
Okay.
Not a chance.
All right. Well,
no, that's
you heard
fair.
It here first.
That's great.
If you ever see Daniel Sloss in
in water in ever water, again, he has to come and live in Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's
going to be a weird fan approach. Like, just like, because it might not happen, but if it ever does, like, I'm just in the sea somewhere in Barcelona and someone's like, you have to move to Melbourne now. But it said like 3 years, and I'm like, I don't know what that means.
What are you talking about? cool. We have one final question. We ask the same question of all the guests. What are your thoughts on Spider-Man?
As what?
Doesn't matter.
I think he's he's one of the fucking OG superheroes.
He is.
Funny. Probably second funniest after, I would say, Deadpool. It was first comic book I ever read was Spider-Man.
Yeah, nice.
Watched the Spider-Man movie when I must have been about fucking 10 or 11. Loved it. And then just after that, they really started.
And then the Tobey Maguire ones?
Or? Yes, yeah, the first one. Yeah. The original one, which I don't know if it holds up, but I remember at the time, I absolutely fucking loved it.
11-year-old you was like frothing the shit out.
Yeah, yes.
And it was, I remember how happy my dad was, because me and my dad, I love my dad dearly. He's one of my good friends. But
not a sociopath.
There you go. See?
Yeah. He, I always feel he's had the opposite of like most Aussie dads think, which is my dad is a nerd, always has been a nerd. He's a highly intelligent man. He's into comic books and all that sort of stuff. And I was always a fucking sporty kid.
Great.
Oh, no.
So it was like the opposite as opposed to like the rugby dad whose son
got
was
a nerd.
Into, so I was always, I was the best at fucking football. I was like the most popular kid in my primary. It was a very small primary school. it was like 80 pupils, but I was like captain of the football team and all that stuff. And my dad was just like, oh, like,
what happened?
Yeah.
Where did I go wrong?
He just like, read this comic book. And I was like, no, I'm going to go play sports with my friends. I'm going to go outside. My dad's like, what the fuck is this? And then I remember we watched, the fucking Batman and Robin, George Clooney one.
Yeah.
And I loved it because I was eight.
Yeah,
he was so sad in the car because I really loved the movie. And he hated it.
Of course.
Because I now understand why he hates it. By the time I was like, it's so cool, Arnold Schwarzenegger. But my dad's just been like, oh, he's got such a shit taste in stuff.
Yeah.
And then we watched Spider-Man.
But you're eight, like- And what 8-year old has great taste in things?
I know, but I think it's just when you see him play.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
And then I saw Spider-Man and I loved it. And then every week we would go to fucking whatever W.H. Smith was called before it was W.H. Smith. I can't even remember. But it was every week was a comic book every Saturday. Me and my dad were going to town, get this comic, take turns reading it. And,
Would you go page by page? Or like-
No, he'd drive home. So
wouldn't that be cute? Right, I've done, Dad, there you go.
I always read it in the car on the way home. Okay. And then from that point, we got into the Spider-Man animated series. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But the CGI one.
Oh, maybe I haven't seen
There was
seen
only
the CGI.
One season of it, and I remember it being fucking spectacular.
Yeah,
and
right.
My dad would watch it every Sunday morning. There was only one season of it, which was devastating for us.
You have to bond over something else.
So beautiful.
I love that. Yeah.
So do I. Yeah. What a beautiful end to the podcast.
No. Yeah.
Bless.
Definitely not a sociopath.
Yeah. Exactly. That is point proven.
Yeah. Like the whole show's about just some people just don't listen to the fucking words.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Really
helped me. You're like, no, buddy. Yeah. But they do listen, the point.
Yeah, they do listen to the words, but they don't listen to the tone.
Yeah. Right. It's important. Tone is important, guys.
Tone is important, and I would like to say this in a very, very happy tone.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for being on
Comedy
Gems. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Jen. We will probably speak to you later.
Woo!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.